Hi, I'm Lisa Wexler, and welcome to this morning's program, the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, where we get to have conversations with some fabulous local high school students who are doing great independent scientific research. And you can find out more about the award on Accorda.com. That's ACORDA.com. I'm Lisa Wexler, your host for this morning. And I'd like to introduce you to Madeline Sleeman of Fox Lane High School, this week's winner. Hi, Madeline.
Hi.
Hi. So, Madeline, you did a project having to do with the immune system and cancer, correct?
Correct, yep.
And what would you say, if you had to describe what you were trying to do, how would you describe what you were trying to do in this project?
So we were trying to find the function of an enzyme within the immune system to see if we could utilize the enzyme in this cancer treatment called immunotherapy, which attempts to use the immune system to kill cancer.
Yeah, so let's backtrack, because the immunotherapy thing is getting a tremendous amount of buzz. I think, Keytruda is the big drug that we see commercials for all the time. It might be the first FDA-approved commercially available drug. And what is the scientific theory behind immunotherapy?
So, to your body, cancer is essentially invisible to it as an invader of sorts. And so what immunotherapy tries to do is to make the body able to recognize cancer as something to kill, so that your immune system, specifically T cells, which are cells within your immune system that kill pathogens amongst other dangerous viruses, that so it can... The T cells can target the cancer and kill it.
So that instead of just fighting the flu,
right,
or maybe needing an antibiotic to fight a particular infection, where the white blood cells do. Did you ever see the movie Fantastic Voyage?
No, I haven't.
You've never seen Fantastic Voyage?
No.
You have to see Fantastic Voyage. Fantastic Voyage is the story of... It's wonderful science fiction. I'm going to digress for a minute. Fantastic Voyage is a story of six scientists who miniaturize. And remember, we're doing science fiction. So they're tiny, tiny little people, because they have to go in to save the brain of a famous scientist. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they get shot in a little, tiny little spaceship. But they only have like 2 hours to do their work. Then they're going to start growing again. So they're in a race for time. And it's a wonderful movie. Anyway, but what I remember most memorably, no spoiler here, is one of the most memorable scenes is when a white blood cell realizes that this little spaceship is an invader, and it starts to attack it, and it gloms onto it. Oh, it's such a wonderful movie. You must see it. Fantastic Voyage. Because that movie will visualize for you science in a way that it'll stay with your brain forever. Anyway, so the normal white blood cells are the... recognize when the body has a foreign invader.
Right.
They attack it, they kill it, and then we feel well.
Right.
But cancer doesn't operate that way.
Correct. Perfect.
So cancer is what? The multiplication of cells that evade the white blood cells, I guess?
Yep, exactly. They evade the white blood cells. And so immunotherapy is trying to reverse this deadly relationship between the immune system and cancer.
By turning them on somehow, by having them recognize
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
So how have... So let's, we'll focus on your study in a minute, but what have the advances been until now in triggering the immune system to do this?
So on a cancer cell, there is a flag called a checkpoint inhibitor. And essentially when this flag binds to the T cell, it basically tells the T cell not to kill it. So So one type of immunotherapy.
So it's a real tip off. It's basically not saying don't ignore me. It's saying like it's saying specifically leave me alone.
Exactly. And so one type of immunotherapy called monoclonal antibody immunotherapy attempts to block this deadly binding between the cancer cell and the T cell, so that the T cell is able to recognize the cancer cell as an invader and kill it.
Okay. You said a monoclonal...
Monoclonal antibody.
Monoclonal antibody. Is that what Keytruda does? Is that how that drug works, for example?
I think so.
Okay. So now you did your research where?
I did it at Harvard Medical School.
That sounds like a pretty good place. And Harvard Medical School has a building devoted to immunology. Mm-hmm. Is that where you worked, by the way?
I was actually at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Okay.
Where,
in the hospital.
Right, where Harvard has some labs that I worked in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with them?
I had emailed numerous professors from different universities around the area, and I contacted Dr. Vasiliki Bousiotis, asking her if I may work with her, and she allowed me to. So I lived in Boston for 2 summers, which was really wonderful. Yeah.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not at Harvard yet, but it's pretty close. Right? So, and you went every single day to the lab and you did work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was the nature of this particular study? How did this study advance this huge, important issue of scientific research?
So a proposed immunotherapeutic mechanism is inhibiting this enzyme called the SRC homology phosphatase 2.
Okay, or that's SHP2. A lot of words.
Yeah.
Okay.
SHP2 is actually localizes to what's called the cytoplasmic tail of the checkpoint inhibitor in the T cell, so that when the T cell connects to the cancer cell, SHP2 goes to a certain place within the T cell and turns the T cell off. And so an idea was that what would happen if we inhibited the functioning of this enzyme would...
Prevented it.
Right.
They use the word inhibit, but regular people would say prevent.
Sorry, yep.
No, isn't that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just to stop the function of the enzyme. And so we did that 2 summers ago, and we found that when we inhibited the enzyme, the T cells actually died. And so...
That's not good.
Right. And so this year we tried to figure out, well, why did this happen? And we found that SHP2 is required for mitochondrial functioning, which is an organelle that provides energy to the cell. And it's also required for autophagy, which is a process that removes damaged organelles and waste from the cell, which would otherwise kill the cell. And so we found that
So the enzyme is necessary for the health of the cell.
Exactly.
To the extent a cell regulates itself, cleans itself, whatever it does, mm-hmm. this enzyme helps do it.
Uh-huh.
So without the enzyme, the cell will die.
Exactly.
And it'll die of natural causes because it doesn't have this enzyme helping it clean itself, etc. Uh-huh. What is an enzyme? What does it mean to be an enzyme, Madeline?
An enzyme is kind of like a catalyst allowing for different functions within the cell to be performed at a faster rate so that they can actually occur, because sometimes without enzymes, some essential processes to cell functioning in life would occur too
happen.
Slowly.
They don't
and,
happen.
Right. Exactly.
Catalyst. An enzyme. So it's some kind of a substance that makes other things do its job better.
Mm-hmm.
We're chatting with Madeline Sleeman of Fox Lane High School, and you're listening to the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award. Madeline is this week's winner for her studies into the role of a specific enzyme called SHP2.
Yep.
In autophagy, which mm-hmm. is cell cleaning itself, autophagy,
uh-huh.
and implications in T cells. So you did this over 2 summers.
Mm-hmm.
What did your, so the second summer you were saying, you were really following the enzyme. Why did its absence cause cell death? And how do you think your study is a foundation upon which other people can then build for further knowledge?
So now what we're going to, or other researchers will try to do, is to find other ways to stop the deadly binding between the T cell and the cancer cell. And so now that we know that inhibiting SHP2 is not a viable strategy,
right.
We can look at other ways. And we also found that SHP2 may be required for glucose uptake by the cell. And so that's further research could build upon that as well.
So in other words, sometimes you do a hypothesis and finding out that that doesn't work, that's useful.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. now you know that that doesn't work. But also you find out more about that which you're studying.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe it can help something else.
Right.
Yeah. I remember when Edison was asked about, you know, all his failures in making the light bulb. And somebody said, you know, how did it feel to fail 998 times? He said, no, I succeeded. I learned 998 ways it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a different spin, right?
Yeah.
Because every bit of knowledge tells you something.
Right.
Absolutely. So, and Madeline, it sounds like you have a big smile on your face. It sounds like you really enjoy scientific research.
I do. I love it.
Yeah. What do you love about it?
I love picking apart little details and everything, and molecular biology really allows me to do that, just to look at every single little detail and make connections. And it's also, I love the idea of immunotherapy because I think...
So do I. So does everybody.
Yeah.
We love to feel like our body can hold the solution to our sickness.
Mm-hmm.
If only we could figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, the real question is, Madeline, you know, and this is, I think, a very important question. A lot of people say, doctors, that every human being gets a lot of quote-unquote cancers.
Mm-hmm.
But something in our body and healthy people turns them off,
yep.
or helps them die.
Mm-hmm.
So this unregulated thing doesn't go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So really the question becomes why in some people or in some organs of some people doesn't it work that way?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You think you have the answer yet, Madeline?
Not yet, but hopefully soon.
Are you going to keep trying to look at it?
Yep. So next year, I'll be studying biology at George Washington University, and I hope to continue my research there and beyond. So.
That's very exciting. Well, this is only the first part of our conversation with Madeline Sleeman. We're going to get a little bit into the specifics and details of her scientific research, and she is from Fox Lane High School. You're listening to the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, and you can find out more about this award at Accorda.com. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to cut costs without sacrificing quality? If so, Onboard Services is waiting for you. Onboard Services takes the administrative hassle of running a business off your hands. From payroll to benefit plans, hiring, and outplacement, Onboard does it all. Onboard has trained specialists to provide your organization with employees based on the skill sets you desire. A family-run business for over 40 years, including clientele among Fortune 400 companies, Onboard is experienced in over 100 disciplines. For temporary and long-term help, or if you just want to save money without dismissing your current employees, do what the experts do. Call Onboard Services right now. Call 609-945-8009. That's 609-945-8009. Or on the web at www.obcc.net. For a special offer, mention WGCH. Take the hassle out of running your business so you can concentrate on the bottom line. Call Onboard Services today.
Having a child with a learning disability is not easy. Winston Prep knows that. Until now, when your son or daughter was ready for high school, you've had few choices. Either send him away to boarding school, where he'll get that special attention he needs, or you take a shot at the local public high school, where you'll spend so much time trying to get them to provide enough support. But now there's another option. The Winston Prep School, located right in Norwalk. Winston Prep School is the only day high school for kids with learning disabilities. Actually, they start at grade 6, going through grade 12. Every child benefits from the FOCUS program, a daily one-on-one instructional session. Winston's highly trained teachers instruct kids with both language-based and nonverbal learning disabilities. If you're a parent who wakes up every morning and says, "What can I do today to make my kid's life a little better, to increase her chances of success?" then give Winston Prep a call at 203-229-0465. That's 203-229-0465. Or sign up for one of their upcoming open houses. Winston Prep may be the answer you've been looking for.
Hi, I'm Lisa Wexler. Join us every weekday on this station between 4 and 6 o'clock p.m. Hey, if you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. We're listening to what's happening in our community, and we want to hear from you as well. We talk politics, science, and the arts. We consult with experts, and we want your opinion. So join us every weekday. I'm Lisa Wexler right here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. And welcome back. I'm Lisa Wexler. You're listening to this morning's edition of the Accorda Scientific Excellence Award, featuring Madeline Sleeman this morning, who's talking with us about T-cells and immunotherapy and a specific scientific study she did at Harvard Medical School. Welcome back, Madeline.
Thank you.
So, and you can find out more about this award at Accorda.com. It's open to Fairfield County and Putnam County and Westchester County high school students. And you need to be somebody independently engaged in one of the STEM research areas, science, technology, engineering, or mathematics. And usually you have a mentor, and the application is free. We encourage your interest in this program. It's unique in that the award is not only a very nice purple plaque, but also the opportunity to share your research, to discuss what it is you've learned with a wider audience on the radio. So, Madeline, what did you learn from doing this specific project? What is your takeaway from what you learned?
I learned that I think the saying, like, the more you learn about science, the less you find that you know, just because of how many mechanisms and processes there are within the cell. And I just think that as you delve into a scientific realm more deeply, you discover that there's just so much more to learn. And so that's really what I took away from my research.
And in this research, what were your tools?
So I used a Western blot and a flow cytometry approach. A Western blot is essentially a gel assessing the presence of proteins that we might want to look for, and flow cytometry does the same thing, but it uses fluorescent markers instead of a gel.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And microscopes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So like the old-fashioned peering into a microscope and looking at petri dishes, is that some of what you were doing?
Yep. So basically after I obtained a blood sample from the hospital I was working at, I had to separate the components of the blood through a centrifuge, and then I purified the sample to only get the T cells or the leukocytes. And then I needed
Is that a fancy word for T cell?
Yep.
Okay.
And then I looked, I had to count how many I had, and I did that
using a microscope.
So basically, we have this special slide called the hemocytometer, and it has a grid on the slide. So you would put a sample of the cells onto the slide and then put it under the microscope and literally just count how many cells there were.
Fantastic. And when you're looking, and this is human blood?
Yes.
And when you're looking at blood and cells under a microscope, are they moving?
At the point where they were centrifuged, they weren't moving, but we did have to dye them using a blue dye to differentiate between the live and the dead cells. But it was just still incredible just to see the cells that are within the human body that really just save people's lives.
So this is a very stupid question, Madeline,
no.
But since they say there are no stupid questions, when you look at blood under a microscope,
mm-hmm.
It's already been taken out of a human body.
Mm-hmm.
But does the blood, the essence of the blood, is that still alive in some respect? Are there still cells moving?
Yes, there are some cells moving still, but not for a very long period of time.
So once they come out of the body, they're in the process of dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not in the body.
Mm-hmm. And so what you have to do immediately is when you purify a blood sample, you need to put the cells in something called a medium, which has a lot of nutrients for the cells.
So that, keep it alive.
Yes, exactly.
So you can try and look at it in a microscope the way it might behave in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You try.
Yeah.
You try. So do you think, based on two summers of study, that this immunotherapy approach to cancer is something that do you think that this is the approach that will be a long-term beneficial approach in a lot of different cancers?
I really do. I think compared to what we have now, such as chemotherapy, immunotherapy is a much more targeted treatment because chemotherapy actually just kills basically all the cells in your body, but not all, but good amount.
The ones that it gets zapped, right.
Right. And so immunotherapy is very targeted. It will only kill the cancer cells, but that's the goal of it. But what we're trying to... So a problem is that sometimes the T cells will actually target your healthy cells as well. And so that's something that we need to work on in the future is developing a way so that the T cells will only kill the cancer cells and not your own or autologous cells.
So right now, the drugs that are being developed in immunotherapy, Madeline, are those that communicate with the T cell? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
They turn the T cell on, or they somehow let the T cell do a different job.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I have also, I mean, I'm exposed to a lot of different scientific papers. Our program is judged majority by scientists, but I'm a layperson on the scientific panel.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've seen a lot of different studies and papers. And one of the scientists who's one of our judges is very insistent that we don't use the word cancer to apply to all different cancers.
Right.
That she really believes there's a difference that the colloquially, the public thinks of cancer as one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as a scientist, she doesn't think of it as one disease. Right. How do you respond to that, Madeline?
I think that's a perfect way to describe the disease, because every different type of cancer works extremely differently within the human body.
Really?
Like, for example, skin cancer is barely comparable to pancreatic cancer in the sense that, you know, skin cancer now, thankfully, is much, much more treatable compared to pancreatic cancer, where if you're diagnosed, you essentially have 5 years or
but
less.
As a budding scientist, what do you mean by the fact that it behaves differently?
I think that just the way the cells replicate and where they replicate, and also how it spreads throughout the body is different. Because skin cancer, for example, it doesn't spread spread throughout the body as pancreatic cancer.
Well, but
does.
Melanoma can.
Right, it does. And so I think that in the way that cancer is different, is just the way and how quickly it works in the different organs and areas of the body.
Because this is a very, according to this scientist, we're not going to be able to find the one panacea cancer drug for all cancers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to still be trying to treat cancers specifically to the nature of where they afflict the body.
Mm-hmm.
How did you enjoy working with your mentor?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. She has become a huge inspiration to me. She's a professor, a researcher, and a doctor all at the same time. And she still took the time to work with me, and that was just very meaningful.
That's really cool. Yeah. And she responded to a blind email. That's how you found her?
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Where did you stay when you were there for the summers?
One summer, I stayed with the host family in Milton, which is a suburb outside of Boston. And then last summer, I stayed in an apartment in Belmont. So
very nice. I know where that is. My husband grew up in Weston, Massachusetts, not Weston, Connecticut. We're chatting with Madeline Sleeman of Fox Lane High School. Tell us a little bit about the science research program at school.
We have a good amount of kids within our program, and our teacher, Ms. Pabord, helps us throughout all 3 years that we're in the program. The first year, you start sophomore year, you kind of research what you want to study in the summer. And so I came across my topic just by reading a New York Times article.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What were you reading about?
I was reading about immunotherapy, and I just thought that it was so incredible. And
it is, isn't
I just,
it?
I just had
so
to do
cool.
something.
Wouldn't it be great? But see, this is what I don't understand, Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that today's immunotherapy drugs, the few that we have on the market, why is it that they are so hard on people?
I think that they're a very new idea. I think that the idea of immunotherapy really blossomed in 2012. And I think that it has such harsh effects on some patients, because sometimes the T cells kill your healthy cells. Because what's very interesting about cancer is the checkpoint inhibitors that it has on it, or the flags that turn off the T cells, are exactly the same on your healthy cells. So when you target the T cell to that flag on the the cancer, you're also targeting your healthy cells. So,
Because the cancer cell is mimicking a healthy cell.
Exactly.
So to some extent, it's working a little like chemo in terms of a blanket effect. I see.
But I think immunotherapy has more potential to be targeted compared to chemotherapy.
But it's not there yet.
Right, exactly.
Because we have to figure out, beyond the flag, what is it that makes it a cancer cell versus a healthy cell?
Right.
And when we can get our own body, you know, to hitchhike to some kind of medicine, to hitchhike onto that, then we'll know. Because our own body, normally, our T cells are leaving healthy cells alone.
Right. That's exactly right.
So if you give it a medicine to kill the ones that are flagged because they're cancer, we have to make sure that they're only attacking the ones they should be attacking.
Right.
That's what we try and do with chemo too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Madeline?
Right.
It's tough.
It is.
It's miraculous how far we've come all together.
I think so too.
I think so. You have such a bright smile on your face. You're so delicious. So, and you're going to be studying biology?
Yes. Yep.
Do you want to be a doctor one day?
Yeah. Right. For now, I want to be a pediatric oncologist.
Do you really?
Yeah. But
people need to do it, but it's a tough world. You need a certain kind of disposition.
Right.
But you know what? If you do become that, and we're talking now a minimum of 8 years from now, there'll be so much more that you can offer these patients.
Right. And that's why science is just so exciting. You know?
It is. We're living in the age of enlightenment. We are. For a lot of other things, we're killing a million species in the world. The environment isn't doing that great. But biotech is pretty amazing.
Right.
It really is. Well, Madeline Sleeman, congratulations.
Thank you.
And say hello to your teacher for us.
I will.
And thank her for her wonderful work that brings us students like you. And we wish you good luck next year.
Thank you.
So you've been listening to the Accord of Scientific Excellence Award featuring Madeline Sleeman of Fox Lane High School. And if you missed a part of this broadcast and you'd like to hear it again, you can go on lisawexler.com, where they're all cataloged, or on soundcloud.com. We've got a Facebook page, and we hope you like that as well. Congratulations again, Madeline.
Thank you.